The largest public service union here will begin negotiations with the government later this week on the future for working post-pandemic. FORSA represents around 80,000 people who work across the public and civil service. Its head of communications, Bernard Harbour, joins us now. Bernard Harbour, you're very welcome to the programme. Who in government will you be negotiating with?
Well, initially there'll be a negotiation between senior officials in the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform and the civil service unions, that's FORSA and some of the other smaller civil service unions. Now, this is quite common practice that on a big issue like this, the public service approach would start with a negotiation in the civil service with a objective of having an agreement reached that can be rolled out across the whole of the public service, i.e. into areas like health, education, local authorities and so on.
And what is at the heart of what you want for your members?
Well, what we're going into the negotiations saying that we want to draw on the build on the momentum around remote working that we've had in the, I suppose, enforced experiment of the pandemic. We've had a situation where hundreds of thousands of people across the economy have been working from home. There have been some problems along the way, but by and large, that's been a very positive experience in terms of workers' experience of work-life balance and so on, but also in terms of productivity, where employer surveys show that most companies believe that they've maintained or even improved productivity through remote working. Now, obviously, this week there's a focus on returning to workplaces over the coming weeks, and we understand that and we're engaged with that. But we're anxious to make sure that the advantages of remote working for workers, for employers and the economy are not lost. And I think the government's position is that the public service should play a lead role in this. And we think that the start of that needs to be to build a framework for the public service where we can identify a good model for remote working in what is quite a complex area where there's lots of different kinds of services, big and small, doing different things, address some of the issues and difficulties that arise and demonstrate good practice and demonstrate how this can be done, not just in the public service, but across the economy.
So do you want employees to have the right to ask to continue working remotely? Employers would have the right to refuse?
Yeah, we support the government's commitment to legislate for a right to request remote working. That commitment was made earlier in the year, I think in January, when the government unveiled its remote working strategy. Now, that would bring Ireland in line with many European countries that already have that kind of right to make a request. As you imply in your question, it does not give you a right to have that request upheld by your employer. So I think that we need to see legislation that has a transparency around it, so that let me put it this way, what FORSA has been arguing for is that the legislation itself will fall short unless it leads to more access to remote working. We think the trick there is to have clear and transparent criteria about what roles are suitable for remote working, so that when a decision is made by, in our case, the public service, but a decision is made by any employer, an employee is able to see whether they've been treated fairly, whether they've had the same access to remote working as their colleagues, and that would give them the basis for some form of redress if they're turned down for a spurious reason. Now, I should say, though, Audrey, I mean, by and large, I think the response of employer bodies has been very positive. I think if we'd have had this conversation 19 months ago, there would have been a lot of scepticism about this. But now people have seen across the economy, employers and staff have seen that remote working can work. It's good for productivity, good for the environment. It's been good for local economies, although obviously there's been some impact on businesses in city centres. But by and large, I think that The current trend is that across the economy, people are behind this idea. I think that the public service negotiation that starts this week is an opportunity to put a strong framework on that, so that we can see enthusiasm turn this into a new way of working across the economy.
And in terms of pay, Bernard Harbour, would the pay and terms and conditions around that, would that remain the same? Because there have been calls in various quarters for it either to be reduced or increased.
I don't think it should have any impact on pay. I mean, we're not talking about changing people's jobs or changing the amount of time that they work or changing their productivity. We're simply talking about changing where people perform their tasks. So it seems to me that it should have no impact on pay whatsoever. There is a bit of a debate about the costs associated with remote working, and we've said that that needs to be explored. I mean, obviously, if you're working at home through the winter, your heating bills are probably going to be higher, things like this. So you know, there's at the moment a tax. You can claim back some tax for those expenses, and I think the government's committed to looking at that tax regime again as part of its remote working policy. But certainly that's one of the issues. But to be blunt, I don't think it's the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of protections for workers, I think we're more concerned about things like work-life balance, the right to disconnect, physical safety issues, mental health issues, inclusion in the workforce and communications between an employer and a remote worker, access to career progression, those kinds of things.
Okay.
All of which are issues, but I think that all of them can be resolved, and that's what this negotiation will have to address.
And resolved quickly, Damien English on radio yesterday said he hopes the legislation will be brought to the Dáil by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that there is a bit. I think there is a need for speed, and I say that because our concern is that with the return to workplaces that's now underway, we're kind of drift back into the 2019 approach. Now we've a big opportunity as a society and an economy to move into a completely different, well, a significantly different way of organising work, which has got great advantages for everybody concerned. We don't want to see a situation where everybody ends up back in their workplaces in exactly the same way as they were in 2019, and okay, then we have to start again from scratch.
Thank you very much indeed, Bernard Harbour of Forsa.